might have seen last week a story about a United States Navy SEAL who is about to receive the Medal of Honor, mm-hmm. about to be awarded the Medal of Honor in a couple of weeks by the president. And it is following action that happened in Afghanistan. And this was, it's a harrowing story when you read it, as all of these tend to be. And this particular Navy SEAL has an interesting distinction, too, as a special warfare operational specialist, or whatever they there's a term for them, you know, whether it's a Navy SEAL or a Marine Recon or any of those special forces types of guys, Delta. He is one of the few who's ever been able to receive the Medal of Honor
while still alive.
While still alive. I believe he's the only Navy SEAL to receive it while still alive.
Yeah, they say Byers will be the 11th living recipient of the award to come out of Afghanistan.
Right. And and it all stems from the kidnapping of a man who was there, and we'll hear his story coming up right now, a man who was there to do good works in Afghanistan, and bad things happened. And he's written a book as well, which is an absolute must read here. Kidnapped by the Taliban, A Story of Terror, Hope, and Rescue by SEAL Team 6. And Dr. Dilip Joseph joins us now. And Dr. Joseph, this was 2012. What were you doing in Afghanistan? What was your organization doing there?
Yeah, well, we've been working in Afghanistan for several years, and I've had the opportunity to go in and out just training local doctors to better train further local doctors and also community health workers to do some much better job in taking care of their own people. Mm-hmm. So we run some rural clinics in within the Kabul province, and one of these very remote community center was not too far from the Pakistan border, again within Kabul province. And as I was coming down with my medical colleague and our driver, we get stopped on the side of the road, and the rest is sort of history.
And now this was... And your organization, like you said, you'd been in and out of Afghanistan. Did you feel fairly comfortable in Afghanistan through your trips?
Yeah, in many ways, you know, as in any country, of course, we hear a lot of stuff going on in Afghanistan through our media. But I would say, as in any country, there are spots that you want to avoid, but there are spots that are very safe. So we've never had any trouble working in the areas we've worked in, especially working with the community elders and following the protocol of security protocol, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so we haven't had much trouble. Of course, there are areas you want to avoid, and there are circumstances that you just can't avoid, and this happened to be one of them.
Now, were you targeted for kidnapping? Because they were holding you for ransom, right?
That's right. Yeah, in the early stages, we just didn't know how this was all going to unfold. In the early stages, I actually thought it was just going to be another roadside robbery, which happens to be more of the usual case. That it turns out to be one of those things where, you know, some of my associates, I should say, have been in similar situations, haven't gotten out because it just happens to be more prevalent than one of these strategic kidnapping hostage situations.
So take us a little bit through the moment in which you were taken hostage, and what were you thinking? Because I know that, you know, part of the accounts here, the captors, as will happen in situations like this, for making it kind of playing with your mind about whether you're not going to live through this or what was going to happen.
Yeah, I would say, the initial stages are just horrifying because you don't know whether you're just going to be killed right there, whether they're just looting you for what you have and they just move on to the next target. So when we made it back into our own vehicles, you know, we had our hands tied behind our backs and we were taken to a very remote area and just we were asked to hike for the rest of the day. In essence, we hiked for most of that first day we were captured. And then it just became more of a very remote you know, held in a very remote area, and they were giving us demands as to, you know, you have 3 days to resolve this, and on the fourth day you'll have representatives from the Taliban headquarters in Waziristan, Pakistan, coming to get you guys and taking you over to Pakistan, and we want this much money. You know, in the beginning stages, they didn't necessarily resolve in terms of exact amount they were looking for, but it turned out to be around $300,000 they were looking for the three of us. And, you know, things just intensified daily as days went by.
I can imagine. You know, you hear about these stories from families back home when they're given a price on their loved one. They think, gosh, we got to pay it. We got to get him back. And then the United States government says, well, wait a minute, you can't put a price on the head of every American. And that's what you'll do,
right,
essentially,
yeah,
if you pay it. What kinds of negotiations were going on? And are you convinced they knew you were American at the onset? They targeted you specifically?
Yeah, and I was very unfortunate. I had just returned from a domestic trip within the country, within Afghanistan, and unfortunately totally forgot to take my American passport out. Mm. You know, I never have any sort of foreign ID on me when I travel in these rural areas, and that was somewhat of an unfortunate incident. So the moment they saw the fact that I was an American citizen, that made things a little worse, although, you know, in retrospect, maybe it would have been just as bad if they were, I mean, they knew, the word had gotten out that there were some NGO, international NGO workers in the area, and, you know, they see any foreigner as somewhat of infidel who is tainting their way of life. So certainly I think being American made it somewhat worse because, you know, Americans are there and seen as somewhat enemies by the Taliban.
And so how many days were you held in total?
It was the fifth day morning that the SEALs came for my rescue.
Okay. And before that, were you able to make any kind of inroads with your captors? Did you have a way to speak with them? I mean, I don't know if you
speak
any of the tribal languages.
The very first day, nothing much happened other than just everyone being quiet and just walking up and down these mountains to get to where they were taking us. On the second day, we actually sat down in one spot for the entire day. So all we did was just talk and ask questions to each other. And that was just an amazing provision, just to sort of get into the psyche and understand who they are, why they do what they do, and how they get into this kind of stuff. And that was pretty incredible. I go into a great detail in the book in terms of the conversations. They were very perplexing and very surprising in many ways that I had with these guys. But the third and fourth day, it was just more, it just kept getting more intense because they were getting antsy in terms of how are things going to get resolved.
So on that day two, and I think this, I know you go into detail in the book about it, but just give us a Cliff's note here about the kind of connections that you made, because, you know, this is the interesting issue there. As you're pointing out, you know, Western aid workers and NGO personnel who are coming into Afghanistan, they are seen as infidels, you're right, but I think that there's also an understanding that, especially since you're a doctor and you were training other doctors, that, you know, there's, you know, they do get a sense that there may be some things about that may be helpful to them. I mean, were you able to cut through on any of that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they ask questions like, why do you do what you do? So especially with a public health background and a medical background, you know, trying to explain to them, you know, I'm here to actually treat your fathers, your mothers, your sons and daughters and your sisters, your family. And I have nothing else in terms of an agenda other than to be your friend. So I think partly what was happening was that we were kind of breaking down those barriers. So on the one hand, they see people that they don't have the opportunity to really interact with. But once they did have that opportunity, what I was really seeing throughout that second day of conversations back and forth was that, wow, this is not what we expected. And that was profound, both to me and also to them.
Okay, we'll come right back. I want to take a real short time out, then I want you to tell us about the moment that you realized you were being rescued by SEAL Team 6, which is a story now that last week in all of the different reporting of it, There was incredible detail of this, an amazing, amazing moment. But from your perspective, because it had to be just a blaze of things that were happening around you, we'll get right back to that. Dr. Dilip Joseph is with us, and he's written the book Kidnapped by the Taliban, A Story of Terror, Hope, and Rescue by SEAL Team 6. Dr. Dilip Joseph is joining us. He's written a book called Kidnapped by the Taliban, A Story of Terror, Hope, and Rescue by SEAL Team 6. And Dr. Joseph, you were kind of leading us through how you ended up being taken hostage in Afghanistan. You were in this hut, I guess, for lack of a better term, you know, very simple structure in the outskirts of Kabul. And on day five, let's run through a little bit of what happened here, because as we've been mentioning, the one of the rescuers on SEAL Team 6 is just been named as a recipient of the Medal of Honor for what he did in this circumstance. So why don't you just take us through what your recollection of that was?
Yeah, that was towards the end of the fourth day when we ended up in somewhat of a bit more of a recognizable house structure. And all the thoughts that were going through my mind had anything to do with, man, how do I convince these guys to somehow let me go? Even if one of them comes with me to Kabul, by now we had actually, from the outskirts of Kabul, gone on to the next overlying province. And then this happens, you know, the rescue, and that was the last thing on my mind. I didn't necessarily think through. In some ways, you don't want to give yourself too much hope, although there was some connection made to the military on the third day. When these guys showed up and they started speaking in English and throwing out commands, I remember thinking to myself, wait a second, I'm the only guy who can understand English here. This must be my rescue effort. So,
And were you awake? Were you asleep? What was it?
We had already gone to sleep. Good question. And I somehow got awake because I had my nose running, so I was very discreetly, given the culture, trying to sort of blow my nose, if you will. And I was awake
quietly. That's interesting, because I read that's considered to be very rude, right, in Afghani culture,
yeah,
to blow your nose.
And also on top of that, everybody was sleeping, so I didn't want to wake people up.
Don't wake the fellow members of the Taliban up,
right? Because they have AK-47s. That's not so good.
They don't like something.
So
I
did
can't
you hear?
And
a gun battle had actually started outside this building that you were rescued out of. And then as the Navy SEALs came through the door, the first Navy SEAL through the door was actually killed in the action, or was mortally wounded right mm-hmm. there, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I didn't hear much of the gun battle, if any, was going on outside. And I could then later on realize the fact that, boy, the shots that were coming out of the SEALs' guns were very muffled. And because this one shot that went out of the 19-year-old and that eventually killed the first Navy SEAL, that walk-in Nick Check, was a big noise. You know, it was a very loud noise. And then, of course, you know something is going on. But then it was just a matter of a few seconds before they recognized, or they asked the question, is there a Dilip Joseph here? And recognizing exactly where my voice was coming from, most probably, very possibly, this Ed Byers came and laid on top of me.
Ed Byers is the special warfare operator who's going to receive the Medal of Honor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's laying on top of you, but he's also pinning a Taliban fighter against the wall while he's laying on top of you, right?
Well, as far as I know, it was some of his colleagues that had more or less every single one of the other ones. So there are five mm-hmm. of them and then me.
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy is just pretty much laying up on top of me and maybe even giving some orders and talking to others while he's keeping me occupied, making sure that I'm fine and that I can talk and whether I'm ambulatory, certain questions that he had already asked me. And then...
And he was calmly, while all this is happening around, calmly asking you these questions, right?
Right. I mean, he wants to keep me occupied and make sure that I'm doing all right, whether I'm mentally capable of handling what's going on around me. And that's when I hear bullets sprayed all around me. And although very muffled, I knew exactly what was happening all around me.
Wow. What a story. I mean, there had to be moments when you thought, maybe I won't make it out of here. I mean, you're being held captive by the Taliban. I mean, the whole experience, I bet you probably learned a lot.
Well, would you say you're conflicted, though, too, by that? I mean, I know that's part of what you've written, and you're sort of expressing it here, too, that, you know, they basically took out all those guys.
Absolutely. I mean, both of you guys make good points. Conflicted in the sense that, you know, you wonder what else could have happened. You know, at the end of the day, all of us realize that there's just no way we can win a battle like this just by killing all the bad guys, simply because more bad guys just emerge, keep emerging. I mean, so that's not necessarily into all the situation that we're in. So on the one hand, from a humanitarian point of view, you really wonder whether you could actually get some of these guys to start thinking differently. And that's the type of conversation. I'm no way suggesting that, you know, my time with them would have ended up in a great transformation in their entire community. But you do have to wonder about things like that. Does human interactions, does it have enough value where it would propagate a different way of thinking, a different way of life? So in that sense, definitely conflicted.
Mm. All right, Dr. Joseph, thank you very much. An unbelievably harrowing story. Kidnapped by the Taliban, a story of terror, hope, and rescue by SEAL Team 6, available where all fine books are sold on the internet, and is also it's the story that has resulted in a couple of weeks, you're going to see this Navy SEAL as he arrives at the White House to be awarded the Medal of Honor. It's the story of the rescue of Dr. Joseph that has yielded that result. So,
what a story.
Doctor, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Good luck with the book, sir.
Thank you both.